This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Length reporting for investors who want the whole story. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the second hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report. As we do in the second hour, I'm replaying some of the more listened to and widely followed interviews that we posted throughout the week on our website and podcast. We talk a lot about the breakout in gold and the breakout in some other markets, much along the lines of what we chatted about in the first hour. However, some of the guests that I am replaying in this second hour, very much more focused on the individual metals sector from a technical standpoint. So it's going to be a lot more technical indicators and charts that we're looking at. And at the tail end of this show, the second hour, we're going to get an energy sector update. This first segment that we are replaying is from Wednesday. Jordan Roiburn, the founder and editor of the Daily Gold. We will get right into it. Jordan, first and foremost, gold on the futures market right around 2150. It got moving on Friday of last week and has just kept on going. Finally, we hit all-time highs and extended on those all-time highs. You recently sent out an article to your subscribers talking about cup and handle formations and the break above those, just how bullish that can be. Break down what you're seeing in the gold chart here, Jordan.
Hey, Corey, just looking at gold in a vacuum, I mean, this is a absolutely beautifully bullish chart. I mean, just a textbook, super bullish cup and handle going back 13 years. It's finally broken out. And I just can't get over just how perfect this technical setup looks. You should be careful by always going with looks, but that aside, I mean, this is legitimately a really, really bullish looking chart and setup here. And so you have this big cup and handle that gold's breaking out from. The measured upside target, I think it's somewhere from in the 2900 area to as high as, I think, 3080, depending on how you measure it. But within the handle, the 3.5-year handle that began when the market peaked in August 2020, there's two cup and handles within that. There's one, if you go back about 2 years, there's a cup there, then a handle that went on for, I think, about a year. And so that projects to 2500. And you can also look at the handle consolidation. You can also pull a inverse head and shoulders continuation pattern out of that. So that also projects to 2,500. But inside of that cup and handle, the handle portion over the last year, that's also its own mini cup and handle, and that projects to 2,350. So I think that regardless of what other markets do, I would think that gold is at least going to get to 2,500 on this move. And I haven't posted a video yet, but I do have an analog chart, a breakout analog chart, highlighting the six historical breakouts in gold on the current scale. And it leads me to think, I mean, it gives you strong evidence that gold can get to 3,000, like in the next 8 or 9 months. It has performed really close to that in five of those six breakouts. So it's a really, really bullish setup for gold and precious metals as well. I think, you know, if not immediately, eventually we'll see money come into silver and the gold stocks. But yeah, just focusing on this year, I mean, this is a really bullish setup. And so the wind is going to be at the back now of the sector and all these companies, finally.
Yeah, Jordan, it's sure nice to finally have a call like this where we finally have the confirmation. And I loved how you broke that down for your subscribers that there was cup and handles abounding. As you mentioned, there was several cup and handle patterns within the cup and handle pattern that's the larger pattern. You also mentioned on the log scale it could actually break up to 4,000 as another target. But you made a point in this recent article to subscribers where you said, at the worst, this is the most significant breakout since 2005, after which gold surged 360% in the next 6 years. And at the best, It's the most significant breakout since 1971 when the U.S. took gold off the gold standard. So could you unpack that point about how you're looking at, I guess, worst case scenario and best case scenario from the historical analogs?
Yeah, I think the worst case is maybe you get a move to 2,500 or maybe even 2,700 and you get a full snapback back to, you know, 2,150 or so. You get a hard retest. And you had that after the breakout in 1978 and also the breakout in late 2002. Like in late 2002, you had this breakout and this really sharp move up right away, but then it came back and retested it. So in two of the six previous breakouts, you did get a hard snapback, although the market, I mean, after 78, the market went crazy after that. So, yeah, I don't know if that's necessarily negative, but I think the worst case scenario, and I mean, we're talking realistically because this is a super bullish breakout. So, you know, the worst case scenario, gold's going to crash and blah, blah, blah. I mean, that's not realistic. So we have to think in the context of you have this super bullish breakout. So the worst case, or like just call it the least best scenario, is you get some move to 2,500, maybe even 2,700. I think there might be a Fibonacci level around there. And maybe gold corrects back to, you know, 2,150 or so, and then it kind of fizzles out and maybe it takes a little time. I mean, it's still bullish, but there can be a scenario where that happens, where you get a really good move for, I don't know, 3, 4, 5, 6 months, but then you get a pullback and then, you know, consolidation. And so I think that type of deal is probably the realistic worst case scenario versus, I mean, a typical scenario. Even if you get a quick retest, you know, the market will really fly after that. But, you know, just like the median scenario, you could say, is it probably moves up to 3,000 before you get any significant correction. And thinking about the comparison to 2005, if you go back to gold in the 1982 and 1987, after those rallies, they rallied somewhere into the mid to upper 400s. And so you can draw, I mean, you can draw a horizontal line there, or you can draw a line that's, you know, trending down, also connecting to the 96 high. But so when you had this breakout in 2005, it was really like a 20-year breakout where gold had gotten above 500 for the first time, I think, since 1981. So that was a really significant multi-decade breakout. But however, it wasn't a breakout where that was a consolidation from the all-time highs. You know, from the all-time highs, that would have been, you know, gold's breaking above 850 or 880 or wherever it was. So the most explosive breakouts are when you are, you know, consolidating from an all-time high, and then you get a real huge breakout after that, like you had in 1978-79. Also, I would say, I mean, it's not perfect in 2007 to 2009, but you know, that scenario of breaking above 700, I mean, the GFC, you did have a retest of 700, then it went to, you know, it almost tripled in the next 2.5 years or so. But this is just much cleaner than both of those, because again, I mean, you're breaking out from all-time high resistance that essentially goes back 13 years to 2011. And this handle, as I mentioned in past interviews, I mean, yes, the handle wasn't consolidating perfectly, you know, around the 11 high, the handle developed. So the right side, the rim of the cup, this handle was consolidating, you know, above the beginning of the pattern, you know, the 1900, 1920 peak in 2011. So that shows you it's even a more bullish than typically average pattern, you know. And then you have the 13 years, just all of that. It just leads me to think that this is the most bullish breakout since the early 70s. And granted, it will take some time. You know, you're not going to know that for certain in the next 3 or 6 or 9 months. I mean, it's going to take a couple, 2, 3, maybe even 5 years before people really figure it out that, oh, that's, you know, this is pretty significant. That was pretty significant. You know, it also depends on the 60-40 portfolio in the stock market. I mean, how soon gold can really start outperforming those, because when that happens, then you're really going to be in new secular territory. And then, you know, gold can really move, you know, much higher, considerably so.
Thank you. for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
Let me tell you a story about Bill. Bill was a normal guy in his 50s. He had back surgery about 2 years ago. Bill was in a lot of pain. He dealt with his pain by taking the Percocets his doctor prescribed for him. Bill took more and more and more of them to help with the pain, until one day the prescriptions weren't enough to get rid of Bill's pain. Then one day Bill found someone to help him get rid of the pain with illegal drugs he didn't need a prescription for. Fast forward to today. Bill lost his job and his family. The only thing he does have is his drug dealer. If you know Bill's story and you don't want to end up like Bill, call the Detox and Treatment Helpline right now to get away and get treatment. 800-296-1327. 800-296-1327. 800-296-1327. Call right now. Help is standing by. 800-296-1327.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from wallofire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Wallofire.com.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good, they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few. After taking Extendivite for about 6 months, I've noticed improvement on the numbness of my hands and wrists from the carpal tunnel syndrome. I will continue to buy product. This formula is very powerful. I am feeling much better. My heart rate and blood pressure is stabilized. My lower edema has reduced, and lower leg pain due to blood clots has disappeared. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. This segment, along with the next segment, replaying an interview that was posted on Friday with Christopher Aaron, founder of iGold Advisor. This is very technical in nature. Christopher is going to look back and give us some historical references to what we can expect in this current gold run. Christopher, I do have to give you credit that it was months ago that you even outlined the scenario where gold and the U.S. equity markets this year could be making all-time highs. We're in March, and we already have that gold finally at all-time highs, and U.S. equity markets continuing at all-time highs. Let's focus on this breakout in gold, though. The big question everybody has is this going to reverse quickly, or is there more legs here? Is this run higher in gold just going to continue?
Yeah, thanks, Corey, and Chad, for having me back on the show, and thanks for bringing up that point. We did outline a few months ago that both the gold chart and general equity market charts, we were talking Dow or S&P 500, they were both bullish independently. Both of the patterns were bullish and suggesting there would be upside breakouts. So now we've seen those upside breakouts in both markets here over the last week for gold, and then getting back into the earlier part of the year for general equity markets. And so it's just important to really step back and think about that. I mean, it's like, wow, you know, the 5,000-year-old store of wealth is at a new all-time high for the history of human civilization, and industrial and technology stocks are also at all-time highs for the history of, you know, United States. It's like, what is happening here? And so I think it's important to acknowledge this, and then to also therefore acknowledge that the ratio between these two asset classes that we've been studying very closely over the last number of years, the Dow to gold ratio, has therefore not broken out. You know, when we have both components of the Dow to gold having broken higher, it means that the ratio between those things continues to move sideways. And so we have to analyze each market independently, and then we have to do the ratio analysis. And what it's telling me is that both markets are going to have significant new highs coming, new waves higher coming here over the next 2 to 3 years. At some point in this cycle, within the next 2 to 3 years, we will get a signal on that Dow to gold, and it will tell us which one of these breakouts, stocks or gold, is the legitimate one, and which one is going to top out and enter some sort of bear market, perhaps for a couple of decades after that. We're not at that point. Both are breaking out now, and we have good waves higher here coming for both markets. Let's focus on gold itself, and let's talk about the expected pathway higher for gold. This leg higher, I mean, we're only 5 days into the breakout. The previous daily high close was set 4 years ago, we're talking about, and so we're only four trading days now above that previous all-time high. Getting the second weekly close here tomorrow on Friday, March 8th, will be a very good signal that this breakout is legitimate. Gold has a rather reliable pattern that it makes after we break former all-time highs in these multi-year consolidations. When we look back at both the 2008 to 2009 breakout, and also when we look at the 74 through 78 breakout, gold tends to have an initial run following the breakout, which is what we're seeing right now. Gold's currently trading at 2160 in the spot market as we're speaking. Gold tends to have this initial thrust higher. And then over the course of the next 2 to 4 months, it tends to retrace the entirety of the breakout from that breakout point, which in this case was 2075. And it tends to come back and retest the breakout point. And this is sort of a functional way of the market saying, and of course we're talking the sum of human participants that are involved in gold, really they're saying, hey, is this breakout for real? So don't just hold it for a day or two or a week or two, but actually if those initial profit takers come in and start selling here over the next couple of weeks, do the buyers have the resolve to step in again at 2075? Does that level now turn to support? In both the previous instances we talked about, in 2009 and also back in 1978, in both instances, resistance did turn to support. And after the retest, gold should then be expected to power higher for a window of about 2 to 3 years after the breakout point. So that's what I'm looking at here over the next 2 to 4 months. And then after we get that retest, I'm looking at a nice 2 to 3 year trending move higher setting up for gold.
Well, Christopher, I'm sure a lot of people listening will be happy to hear that, because what we've been seeing for the last few years is only a 2 or 3 month move higher, not a 2 or 3 year move higher. And so it'll be nice to see a little bit of action stay in the sector as far as positive upward direction after we get that first initial retest that you just outlined. But I'm sure people are thinking, how high does it go? What's the path forward? You've outlined in a previous show that you saw this rectangular consolidation over the last 4 years, and you expect that to extrapolate forward. But for people that missed that, maybe outline where you think the pricing move is going in the next couple of years.
Yeah, so these rectangular consolidations that we've been in here for golds over the last 4 years, they have a fairly reliable way to measure a target calculation. And what we do is we look at the widest amplitude of the consolidation that gold has been in here underneath that key 2075 level for the last 4 years. The widest part of the consolidation was, again, from 2075, the resistance, down to 1,615, which were the lows for that little false breakdown that gold had in late 2022, October of 22. That amplitude is $460. So from the lows of the false breakdown to that amplitude, we have $460. And you have to think about what happened in that consolidation here over the last 4 years, in that $460 amplitude. There were buyers, there were sellers, there were speculators, there were hedgers, you know, producing gold companies coming in that were selling forward their production, that were thinking, you know, hey, we're going to be in this sort of consolidation forever, therefore I want to lock in, or maybe this is going to represent a final top, therefore I want to lock in the current price of gold. Maybe we're at 1,800 or 1,900. Let's lock that in by hedging forward our production. Now that we are at new all-time highs, all of those producers, all of the short sellers, all of the speculators that were thinking gold was going to top out here, they are all wrong on their forecasts. And they are now all incentivized to cover those shorts, to cover those hedge books, to cover those protective positions. And they'll do so sequentially as the gold price starts marching its way higher.
To find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
News update. Three people have been killed after a National Guard helicopter crashes at our southern border. Two National Guard soldiers killed. One Border Patrol agent also died in the crash. Another soldier being treated in the hospital. Now, the chopper was in the vicinity conducting aviation operations near Rio Grande City in Texas. In Hawaii, AI technology is going to be used to prevent wildfires. Fire detection sensors are being installed to hopefully prevent what happened in Maui with that raging wildfire. Turning now to politics.
We must re-elect Joe Biden and Kamala Harris.
You're listening to First Lady Jill Biden as she warms up the crowd in Philadelphia ahead of the president's speech there Friday.
MAGA Republicans and Donald Trump want to pass a national ban on the right to choose, period.
And I'm Laura Winters, USA News.
It's easy to see. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. We all know something big is coming, and that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming more self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. My Patriot Supply is the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, and they make it easy for you to prepare. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure some emergency food kits. There's a dozen to choose from that contain tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. My Patriot Supply also sells large solar generators, gravity-powered water filtration systems, heirloom seeds for your garden, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your items will ship that same day. Time is short. Prepare today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. Continuing the replay of the interview with Christopher Aaron, founder of iGold Advisor, that was posted on Friday on our website and podcast. We are going to get more into the underlying equities, the gold equities, that is, and how they could react over the next couple of years. What Christopher has to say is pretty interesting in terms of historical references and the time frame that it might take for some of these stocks to truly get moving. We'll get right back into it with Christopher Aaron. Let's talk about the underlying equities then. And I want you to more look back in history and just outline when, if ever, we have seen a scenario here where gold prices are breaking out to all-time highs and the equities have been in downtrends, multi-year downtrends. And when you consider the highs of something like GDX from back in 2011, it's now half of that level. Have we seen this drastic underperformance of the stocks in an environment where gold is breaking out before?
Yeah, actually, we have. We've seen it on several really important occasions. If we look back to the 2007 to 2011 cycle, you know, gold finally broke out above $1,000 per ounce for good in October of 2009. It had been consolidating between roughly 700 and 1,000 for the previous 2 years below that 1,000 figure. Gold finally broke out in October of 2009. And it went up to 1225. That's an 18% move in 9 weeks. By the way, in today's dollars, that would be equivalent to a $400 move in 9 weeks. So that would be like gold basically achieving my $2,500 target in 9 weeks. You know, forget about 2 to 3 years, but I'm just putting it in perspective for what happened back in 2009 in percentage terms. Now, the key thing is that after that initial thrust up, gold did not continue powering higher all the way to 1900 in 2011. It first stopped, retraced the breakout completely, and by February of 2010 came all the way back to retest the breakout point at $1,000 per ounce. That retest was successful. It held. And from there, over the next 2 years, gold went from 1,000 to over 1,900. However, it's very important to remember that when we look at how the miners performed in that sort of breakout and retest scenario, the miners actually made a lower low on the retest of 1,000 than where they were trading when gold actually broke out above 1,000. And that's because, you know, the miners are a group of investors who are watching the gold price very closely. We're talking to some of mining participants. And mining investors, we've seen this a number of times, they often get it wrong at the very end of a critical point in the markets. The sum of the mining investors get impatient. If we see as a net sum, let's say gold break out and then come back and retest that point, the sum of the mining investors can get most frustrated at exactly the wrong point, because right at that retest, so I want to let people know that there may be a final buying opportunity here within the next 2 to 4 months on a lot of these miners. From that point, that low should be a major multi-year low, following which we should see a trending move higher finally in this sector, lasting for another 2 to 3 years. So it's really critical for investors to be monitoring and to remember the lessons from history and not throw in a towel at the exact wrong moment, which is going to be the retest of this breakout.
Christopher, I think that is such an important message for listeners to hear, because human nature and emotions are, if this thing does get a retest, people think, oh gosh, I knew it. This thing's pulling back. I'm out of here. And they may be getting out at exactly the wrong time when they should actually be pressing their bets. You'd also made the point in a prior show that the 1970s were a similar kind of time period where you had the mining stocks kind of stagnant from 74 to 78, even when the gold price was doing well and the silver price was doing well. And then at the very end, from 78 to 80, that's when you saw the big uplift. And you had highlighted both Hecla and Newmont as stocks that had just blasted higher by, you know, 3X, 4X at the very end. Do you still think we'll see that same kind of pattern where maybe the mining stocks take a while to get the memo, but then at the very end is where you see those life-changing gains?
I really do. The message of bull markets, and look, we're still in a bull market for gold. We have gold breaking out to new all-time highs just here over the last week. When something is breaking out to new all-time highs, that's a bull market, okay? So gold is in a bull market, yet the sentiment is still so subdued in this sector across so many different metrics that we've talked about, whether we look at outflows from the gold ETFs despite the breakout, when we look at subscriber and readership interest across a lot of the articles that we're looking at, when we look at trends in Google searches for people who are interested in learning about the gold price, everything is still way down in interest, yet gold is in a bull market, and a bull market which is breaking out. So it's really important to remember that bull markets don't end on pessimism. We're in a bull market, yet there's pessimism in the sector right now. Bull markets end with euphoria. They always do. They end when everyone is jumping over themselves to get on this show, to listen to this show, when you guys have so many listeners that the servers crash, right? When, you know, when people are buying gold and silver from the coin shops and, you know, SD Bullion and JM Bullion and a lot of these AppMex dealerships are sold out and you can't get product for 2 months. That's a sign of a top. Right now, we're not in a top. Right now, we're in the warm-up stage for what could be a dramatic final wave in this bull market. And so, yes, we talked about the example from the mining sector in the 70s. Hecla, I think, is the best example. You talk about silver. Silver was flat from 1974 to 1978. It moved sideways. It consolidated below $6 per ounce for 4 years. The value of Hecla as silver consolidated was down 85%, for crying out loud, 85%. This is how frustrated mining investors can get as a net sum amidst the consolidation. We've seen the exact same thing here over the last 4 years. A lot of these miners are down 70, 80, 90% with gold sideways to now breaking out. And then what happened to Hecla? In the last year, as silver finally broke above that 1974 peak, Hecla was higher by 1,000%, not 300%, 1,000%. And that basically started after the retest in gold, and then several months after the retest in gold, silver broke out, and then the miners had that move, and that final move was 15 months long. So the waiting is still happening now. We've talked about there could still be, you know, another several months, perhaps even the majority of this calendar year could be subdued as far as the sentiment goes. And then the lessons from every cycle in history is that you don't end a bull market on pessimism. You end it on euphoria when the mainstream investor starts to come back into the sector. And that is when the miners have their final move. So you want to be positioned in any final retest that's coming here for that final move.
That's all we have time for this segment on the radio. We do need to take a commercial break, but again, to listen to that full interview, it was posted on Friday on our website, kereport.com, or check it out on our podcast, The KE Report. Again, it was a very busy week with a lot of commentary, finally, on the metals, because there was more to talk about. Hopefully that continues throughout the next few weeks and gives us a lot more material rather than hypotheticals, as we were stuck talking about for really a couple years. Everyone stick around. We're going to be right back to wrap up the show with a bit more focus on the energy sector.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Do you know someone with a drug or alcohol problem? Get help now. Insurance may cover everything. Stop the drug and alcohol nightmare. Call 800-284-0523. Learn how through the Family Medical Leave Act, you can leave your job without losing your job. Locations everywhere. Get immediate help for drug and alcohol problems. Call now. 800-284-0523. 800-284-0523.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discovery on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay Heating Pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay Heating Pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay Heating Pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com. including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
Did you get a call or message that mentioned Social Security that made you feel threatened or scared? That is not the Social Security Administration. Social Security will not threaten you, press you for personal information, or demand instant payment. Social Security does not accept payments by gift card, prepaid debit card, internet currency, or by mailing cash. Criminals use these forms of payment because they are hard to trace. Don't fall for it. Hang up, ignore them. Report this criminal activity to oig.ssa.gov.
I need to file my tax return right the first time. How can I be sure to do that?
Doing your taxes yourself? Using e-file is the best way to file an accurate tax return. Mistakes can delay your refund, so spend an extra few minutes making sure you can file an accurate return the first time around. Avoid common errors by spelling all names correctly and using correct Social Security numbers. Double-check your bank account numbers for direct deposit and double-check your math, too. Oh, yeah, don't forget to sign and date your return.
Welcome back. Final segment of this weekend's weekend show. As promised, switching our focus a little bit more to the energy sector. As we chatted with Joseph Schachter, this interview was posted on Thursday. We're only able to play about half of it for this shortened radio segment. So again, be sure to visit our website or podcast to listen to that full interview. I hope you all have a great rest of your weekend. Please keep in touch with me through email, fleck@kereport.com. I love hearing from each and every one of you. We are chatting with Joseph Schachter, founder and editor of the Schachter Energy Report. Joseph joins us every month to recap some of the macro forces around the oil and natural gas price, and then talk about the underlying equities. Let's start off with oil here, Joseph. We've seen oil, I guess we can call it, continue to grind higher ever since kind of that December low that we saw in the crude price, down just below $68 a barrel. Now, crude is knocking on that $80 a barrel level, off of some of the highs from just back in October of 95, but there is this general uptrend here. In terms of the whole macro picture for oil, Joseph, where should investors be focused? What's going to drive the price either higher or lower from here?
Okay, there's two parts to the story. Let's start with the bullish side. The bullish side is OPEC has decided to keep their quotas, even though they're not abiding to abide them, but they're going to keep them definitely through the end of Q2. They're meeting on June 1st, and the market is expecting them to continue the quota cuts into the end of the year. So that's one of the bullish things that took it up to $80. Also, the data coming out of China with recent exports showing that there is a recovery in the China economy. Some of the India data about how they're growing has been very positive. And, of course, they're going to use more energy going forward. And they're, of course, trying to get rid of coal, so they're going to be buying more natural gas over time, more LNG. So that's been the positive side, or liquefied petroleum gas. So that's one of the positive stories. On the negative, U.S. commercial inventories continue to grow, and we saw that this week with the EIA data, that the inventories grew 1.4 million barrels, and they're closing in on what they were a year ago. And also we've seen the SPR growing every week by about 700,000 barrels, and it's only like 10 million barrels below what it was a year ago. So we're seeing, you know, restocking going on in the United States. U.S. exports, interestingly, have been coming down a little bit because Europe has not been such an aggressive buyer. Exports fell last week 91,000 to 4.64 million. And we were over 5 million a while ago. So with Europe not buying, and of course the United States doesn't want to sell any of their oil to China, you know, you're seeing Europe slow down their buying, and that's been a drag a little bit. My view is between now and, let's say, the summer, because we go into the shoulder season, demand for all of this year will be, you know, 102 million barrels. And, you know, during the winter and, you know, and during the summer driving season, maybe 103 to 105, depending upon the day. But during the shoulder season, it can get down under 100 million barrels, which would be March, April, May, June, and then, of course, September, October. So I think we're still having a shot here at maybe prices coming below U.S. $70 a barrel. And so I'm somewhat cautious on chasing stocks here. I think we're going to see a bit of a pullback. And if that doesn't happen, you'll get a better buying opportunity.
Well, thanks for covering oil, Joseph. Let's also quickly look at nat gas. There's a range of opinions on natural gas, and some of it is the optimism about the upcoming LNG terminals, but there's also the reality of not that great of prices right now in the near term. So how are you looking at the natural gas fundamentals?
It's, again, a tale of two cities. 2024, shit, and terrible. 2025, probably pretty good. It's just the problem is until the Freeport facility comes back on, that'll add a couple BCF a day in terms of pickup and demand. You're seeing a lot of companies announcing that they're going to stop spending. EQT will cut back about a BCF a day. Chesapeake will be about the same. So the producers are cutting back. Some of them, like EQT, said that they need 350 U.S. and MCF to justify spending more money. So the pullback in spending will hopefully help a little bit on the storage, but the storage really doesn't get better until you get into winter 24-25 when we have new LNG plants coming on and we start filling the pipeline for Coastal. So it's a question of, you know, how bad, you know, if we have weather in the summer, which is moderate, and you don't have a strong air conditioning season, we could see AECO, you know, plug under a buck, which is terrible. But if you get into, you know, November, December of 24, we could be looking at $3 because, number one, you know, Freeport's back on and exports from the States with the new facilities will go to Europe and Asia. And at the same time, we'll have LNG Canada taking gas and getting ready to ship off the west coast of Canada sometime in early 2025.
Joseph, let's get into the stocks then, because, look, that's where a lot of people want to invest. And one thing we broadly heard is that the oil stocks continue to struggle amidst this generally better price environment for them. But also the oil price is off of its highs from last year, also from a couple of years ago. You look at something like XLE, though, and XLE is doing just fine. It's trading more in a range for about a year and a half now. What are you seeing within the oil stocks, especially recapping some of the Q4 earnings that we've been seeing?
Yeah, I think you've got to go and look at it from the point of view of those companies that are involved to take advantage of the TMX expansion. So you're talking about the oil sands firms, the big SAGD firms. Those are the ones that are going to benefit with increased exports. They've built up the, you know, the 150,000, 200,000 barrels a day increment from what they were. So, you know, CNQ's expanding their production. Cenovus, Meg, all these guys are growing their production. Suncor. And so they're going to be the big beneficiaries, and they're the heavyweights in the XL, in the big indices. They're going to be the ones that are running right now and where investor interest is there because of the new pipeline takeaway capacity. And TMX, as we mentioned, is going to take oil starting in April. The general oil and gas industry, the smaller and medium sized players, are all still focusing on, number one, balance sheet, you know, getting them back in order under one times debt to cash flow. And many companies still are in that mode. If they're small to medium sized companies, anything under 30,000 BOEs a day, they're still looking at, you know, getting their balance sheets healthy. And then, of course, the pressure is on for shareholder returns. So some companies are looking at NCIBs and they're pretty active on them. Others are looking at a mixture between dividends, special dividends, and NCIB. And so that's really, you know, the issue for the industry is where do you want to be? How cheap are you trading versus your PDP and 1P value? And then what do your shareholders want? But the key thing is to start it off is balance sheet, balance sheet, balance sheet. Like the days of growing drill baby drill are gone. The issue now is companies want to be able to survive if there is a recession and if oil does go back down below 70 for any sustainable period of time. survivability, because if you remember, in not 4 or 5 years ago, we lost quite a few companies in Canada because the price of oil and natural gas got hurt, and they had too much debt. And so getting away from debt, getting away from, you know, the banks breathing down your neck and telling you what you can and can't do with your dividend, can or can't do with CapEx, companies are saying, I don't want to be in that boat again.
So, Joseph, I'm curious to hear what your take is comparing the big players to some of the smaller, more of the exploration or smaller stage production companies. Is there catch-up that these smaller guys can do, or is this a big producer's game still?
The market, because of TMX and because of the, you know, $79 oil, and you convert the 1.35 for the Canadian dollar, it's over $100 Canadian. That's where the market is now, and that's where the big institutions are chasing the stocks. I'm a contrarian. I want to buy value, and I want a catalyst coming in a reasonable period of time, a year, 2 years at the most, that can create an upside of 2 or 3 times from the current price. And that's what I see happening for so many of these junior E&P, because, you know, once we get coastal gas moving gas 2.1 BCF to the coast, once we see, you know, if I'm right and we see $90 oil in 2025, then I'm going to be looking at some very, very strong cash flows. Companies will have got through their debt pay cycle done, and they'll be looking at growth or shareholder returns. And if you're trading under PDP, why go out there and drill a well when you can buy your shares on Bay Street? I think 2025 is the year of the small and medium caps.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veterans. Nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers, there's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com, gcnfood.com.